WHAS, Louisville.
This is CBS News with Richard C. Hot Lips.
Hello, WHAS.
Mr. Bass?
No, it's... Hi, girls. It's fine, but it's Gary Burbank, not Mr.
Really
Mayor.
Enjoying your topic.
I don't have a topic, though. You know, I play
crime,
records.
Right. We think you ought to get rid of all crime.
Crime is my topic, huh?
Well, it's terrible in this country.
It is.
We have an uncle who moved to Palm Springs because of the rising crime rate here in Louisville.
You went to Palm Springs. How is it down there? Is it nice?
Palm Springs is nice.
Oh, it's good.
The biggest crime there is not replacing your divot.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Hey, bro, this is going to be one of the easiest interviews I've ever done because
I'm going to mirror you.
First off, let me tell you personally how much you and your work have meant to me over the years. I mean, just listening to you and then learning from you, and you've always been so kind to me. I just really deeply appreciate that.
Well, you know, Terry, I mean, coming from you, that means a whole lot to me. I mean, if you want to mentor somebody, why not mentor someone successful? That way you look good.
Garrett, we are coming to the end of an incredible ride, but I want to take you through a couple of places. First off, right here on this station, WHAS, you were here in the mid-70s. You'd already been at Wacky, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But tell me about your experiences here on WHAS.
I had a great time at HAS. I was at CKLW in Detroit, and my wife, Carol, who was in the first graduating class of J-Town, was never real happy being away from home that far. And the longer we stayed away, the unhappier she got. And so I was like, you know, I got to do something. So she said, if we can get close. And suddenly there was an opening at HAS, and I was able to get that.
And this was a stodgy, middle-of-the-road, boring station.
I don't know. Yeah, there were some pretty good guys on the air, but, you know, you're right. I think the programming-wise, it could have been a little more exciting. You know, I know when I got there, they used to have this reverb, and you would go on the air, and you would go, this is WHAS, and, I mean, it was incredible. But there was a little knob on the board there that you could turn it down yourself, so the first day I went on, I just cut it off, and everyone heard it, and Jerry David came in and said, hey, that sounds pretty good. So Jerry Davis started doing it. Pretty soon we started sounding like, you know, we weren't in a cave somewhere. And it's just you get accustomed to something, and some guy, you know, one new comes in and does something a little different. You go, hey, that works.
Isn't it true that you were here not very long, and the manager came in and said, you make too much money?
Yeah, there was a manager who came in. I was on the air one day, and I think about half the sales department had left that week anyway when he came in, and he said, you know, I was in a break, and he said, Gary Burbank, he told me his name. I won't mention any names. I said, well, hi there. He said, you make too much money. And I had my little, I've had this briefcase for 40 years. So this briefcase, a little suitcase looking thing. And I just shut it, put my headphones in it, started walking out the door. And he said, where are you going? I said, I'll be across the street kicking your ass. And I walked out to the parking lot, and he followed me out to the parking lot. Well, you can't do this. I said, yes, I can. You know, my contract was up. And I was going to be up very soon. And so he finally, I negotiated a 5% raise before I would go back on the air. We had dead air for about 5 minutes. And well, the funny thing was I never got the raise.
What?
Yeah. And he turned out not to be such a bad guy. I think he was just trying to make an impression.
Well, sure.
And I made an impression, too, and we were friends after that.
You already mentioned Carol, and she's been so wonderful and a great partner for you. But the way someone described you to me one time is that you're just this creative genius, and they said that you really don't, you're not very good at marshaling your real life, and that Carol would get in the car sometimes and find 3 or 4 paychecks under the seat. You just didn't care.
When we first got married, Carol, you know, we were going to get married, and she said, okay, I had been working at Wacky. I was driving a Cadillac convertible. I had a Billy Jack hat, man. And Carol had been working as a secretary at Alan Martin, you know, for a little while. And so, and she was only 19, so, and I was, you know, I'd been making pretty good money for a while. So she said, well, let's put our money together. I said, okay. And she had saved $2,000, and I owed the bank $8. And then she found two paychecks in the back seat, under the back seat of the Cadillac. And, you know, she said, I think I'll take over the money. I haven't seen a cent since.
But you love your work. That's all that really mattered. You didn't care about the money. You would do this for free.
You know, I would do it for free, but I think I might starve. if they just gave us food, yeah, I probably would have, because I did love it. I got into it, and I found out that I had a brain for radio. Not only a face, but I had a brain for radio. I couldn't, you know, I've tried to do TV, and I've done a few things, and I've noticed you figured it out. But I get on TV, and my, you know, you can see this guy has ADD. But on the radio, you really can't tell that, and you don't see my eyes, you know, go across the room.
The other morning, you and I were talking on the telephone, and I heard kids scampering around there. You enjoy being a grandparent, don't you?
I'm telling you, man. I used to see people that would have asked me about my grandchildren bumper stickers, and you think, what kind of moron is that? And then when you have one, it's like you have this protective feeling for your own kids, and then after they grow up, you still have it, but you know it kind of subsides a little bit, and then all of a sudden they hand you this new little baby, and it all comes back flowing into your heart. And let me tell you something. I'm called Mopper by one and Grandfather by the others.
Very
and
nice.
My son Sean lives in Louisville, and so I'm able to be there a lot. And he's him and Don and Abigail and Morgan and Rachel live in Georgetown, Indiana, actually. But they're, you know, he works in Louisville.
The legendary Gary Burbank. And you, and there began. Nobody wakes you up. That is Mouth and Meal. How do you do? And you, the same and I. It is time now, on the Irish, for Stump That Tree.
And Stump That Tree. Question is, what stretches farthest, skin or rubber?
Oh, rubber.
No, skin.
Skin?
Yeah, Moses tied his ass to a tree and walked 40 miles.
How did you do that?
And now, just back from the Tijuana Kale Pectate Festival, after a six-day run, it's me, Gary Burbank. Thank you. Thank you. It's okay. This is Gary Burbank telling you and only you to not be so hard on cannibals. They like people.
Gary Burbank retires today from WLW in Cincinnati. And, Gary, this has been a heck of a ride. I mean, you had terrific years here in Louisville. Let's start with Wacky. We didn't get a chance to talk about that in the first part of our interview. Was that the greatest assemblage of radio talent you've ever been a part of?
It absolutely was. And I worked at some pretty good stations, man. I mean, WNOE in New Orleans had some great guys there. And I worked at CKLW, and at the time, I think that was probably the hottest station in the country. But I can always look back at Wacky and see your old Duke of Louisville and Skinny Bobby Harper and all the guys that were there, Chris Lundy and everyone, man. I mean, we had some really, really good people. Weird Beard. I won't name everybody because it would take too long, but if I left you out, you know, I still love you. And we had a reunion, and you were so nice to come there, and it was pretty cool last year, and meeting all these guys and seeing how old they had gotten.
But, Gary, when you're around that kind of talent, that just raises everybody's game, doesn't it?
Man, it really does. I mean, you're not conscious of trying to beat the other guy. You don't want to be left behind. I mean, you see, you're working with someone like Skinny Bobby or Bailey or Dude Walker or Johnny Randolph. I mean, you know, it's basically like you want to keep up. And I was pretty motivated anyway.
You invented a lot of great characters. Guys like me who've come along after you thought, wow, Burbank did this. I got to do something to even try to get on that same street. And, like, I'm just thinking of Eunice and Bernice and Earl Pitts American and the Reverend Deuteronomy Skaggs. I mean, these characters, these are all people who are in your brain. Tell me who they are in your real life, these characters.
I'll give you a good example of one from WHAS. There was the sweetest lady, and I loved her, and she was so funny, and she was heavy involved in politics, and I would talk to her every now and then. She called me from Paris, Kentucky. Her name was Fern Stone. Never forget her. And one day, I put her on the air about once or twice a week. One day she called me, and she had a friend on the extension phone, and I don't know if they were into the gin or not. I like to think so. But they were having a great time. They were all talking at the same time, and I'm listening to that on the air. So it was pretty funny. So a couple of days later, myself and a friend of mine, we sat down, and I was thinking, you know, that's pretty funny, these two ladies. And so we kind of put these, and I didn't want to just do a granny voice. You know, a lot of guys do granny voices, but you think, well, that's Jonathan Winters, you know. So what I did was I did one voice and then did, like, a harmony part of another old lady at the same time. And older lady, I'm sorry. So I did the bit, and it was so funny because I hadn't hung the phone up, you know, the pretend phone up, until the real phone rang about 3 minutes later, and it was Fern, and she said, "You think I don't know what you're doing with that?" I said, "Oh, hope you're not mad." She said, "Nah, I thought it was funnier than hell." I loved her.
Who's Earl Pitts American in real life?
Earl Pitts American is my dad. I mean, he's from Water Valley, Mississippi, and he's a put-on artist. And Earl is that way a little bit, too, if you listen close. And my dad, if you came up to my dad, being from the north, and talked to him a little bit, you know, and you walked away from him thinking this was a country bumpkin and this is the first time he ever wore shoes, my dad would just be laughing like crazy because he put you on to make you feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, I'd get up in the morning, sit down, he'd look at me and go, "You know what makes me sick?" That's where I got that from, you know. and after I got into, started doing Earl Pitts, you know, I'd go back home to see Mom and Dad, and "You know what makes me sick? Let me get a pencil, Dad."
But really, as an artist, you're able to express yourself through characters.
Yeah, I'm better at that, yeah.
And you've just done it in so many different ways, a myriad of ways, and you've inspired radio people all across America. And your contribution to the industry has just been phenomenal.
You know, I can't believe this outpouring. You know, you have your head down, and you're the same way. You know, you have your head down, your nose to the grindstone all the way, and you don't really take a lot of time. And a very close friend of mine this week said, "I hope, you know, listening to all these accolades and all these people calling you and everything that's happening with you right now, I hope you will lift your nose up from the grindstone long enough to savor this." And I have, and I am humbled by it. When, you know, and you need to know this too. I mean, when someone will say to you that, "You know, I listen to you every day," and my father, he was dying of cancer in 1992, and every day at 3 o'clock, the one thing we could do together was sit and listen to you and laugh. I mean, you well up. I mean, you can't believe it. You are a friend to many people that you don't realize you are, and I'm sorry it took this long for me to figure that out.
But, Gary, you've always been kind to people. I mean, when I was a high school age person, I met you the first time, and you were nice to me the first time. I was inspired by that, and that just comes back to you in spades. And people, love
and them. Mom and them made me like that. Mom and them made me like that. I've never been, you know, that's a southern thing, I think. I mean, there's a lot of jerks from the south, believe me. But it's just a family thing, I think. You know, we always, you know, talk to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I say yes, ma'am to, you know, a bank teller who's 23 years old and I'm 90.
A brain like yours is a perpetual motion machine. I know it's not going to come to a screeching halt next week, so we're going to hear more Earl Pitts American, but there'll be some other creative outlets in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've been, you know, I've had people come to me about my library of, you know, I've got stuff to fill a room. And so I did a compilation CDs to go out on. But I don't know. I never listen to myself, because if I listen to myself, I get hypercritical. And I listened to myself driving back from Florida about a month ago when we first started putting this together. I listened to me for 14 hours. And Terry, I'm not that funny.
Oh, but you are.
But after 14 hours, like that. But then I heard it, and then we kind of chopped it up and put it together. And it's turned out to be, you know, I'm a huge Monty Python fan. And a couple of people that are in humor listened to this and said, "You know, you don't really have anything to feel short of Monty Python with these CDs you've done."
That's exactly right.
But then I said, you know, lightning's going to strike us dead.
No. We're going to end here. Gary Burbank, a glorious career. Congratulations. Would you please give me your standard sign-off from WLW?
Do I have one? Oh, yeah. For Duke Sinatra, Slim Tempo, Rob Urban, and Senior Buddy Whiplash, I'm Gary Burbank.
Calling car 64, car 64, you are now car 65. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you.
W-A-K-Y.
Fnork 535 with Gary Burbank. And show me a man with both feet planted firm on the ground, and I'll show you a man who can't get his pants off.